Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Will you turn with me to Isaiah? I want to show you something that happens as we minister to the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, familiar portion of scripture for us. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amidst a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here I am. Send me." He's in the presence of the Lord. He's ministering to God, and he hears God speaking. The triune Godhead conversing amongst themselves. Who will go for us? God knows when we're tuned in. And when we get tuned into God, we're going to start hearing what's going on. And when we start hearing what's going on, all of a sudden we're going to realize God's looking for someone to move through. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord searches to and fro across the face of the earth, searching for one man, one woman, to show himself strong on behalf of that one, moving through that one, that person, those whose heart is for him or consecrated to him, committed to him. Wonderful truth. Turn with me quickly to Acts on the same thought. Ooh, this is a neat one. Acts 13. Look at this. Paul, Barnabas, the bros, they're all gathered together. And as they, look at this, verse 2, chapter 13, Acts 13, 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, worshiping God, just praising him for who he is, thanking him for his goodness, just offering up what is due his name. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." So important that we are ministering to the Lord, that we might hear from the Lord. And oftentimes, it's that idea of that which I have first received, Paul the Apostle said, that's what I'm going to give back out. But how am I going to receive that if I'm not ministering to the Lord in a place where I can receive that? And oftentimes we're out running, wanting to do things for God. Noble, wonderful, good things, I know. But what if that wasn't what God said to do? What if that wasn't what God was speaking to do? It's a good idea. It's a wonderful thought. But did you ever think that that might go up in flames and just be part of your burn pile? Wood, hay, and stubble? Because it wasn't motivated out of the Spirit? I'm challenging you. I'm challenging me, you know, to think through these things. What voice? Tuning in. I want to hear from the Lord. So many people get caught up wanting to do things for God, but God's just saying, "Hey, I'd love to have you just minister to me." Do you remember the disciples? They said, "Hey, man," this is a paraphrase, but this is what they said. "Hey, man, so where are you hanging out?" They're talking to Jesus. "Where are you hanging out?" "We just want to get to know you, Jesus. We want to be with you." Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You know? But they're cool. No, we just want to be with you. We're not interested in what you have, what pictures you got on your walls or any of that. We just want to be with you. You see, isn't that great to want to just, I just want to be with him. I just want to hang around Jesus. I just want to be with him. Crazy stuff happens when you're hanging around with Jesus. Withered hands come back. Blind see. The deaf hear. The mute speak. Radical stuff happens when you're hanging around with Jesus. Isn't it great to be led by the Lord, to be hearing from him, and then to be called out to do those things? Notice where he's at when he's doing this at this present time. He's in the temple, isn't he? He's in the gathering place of the people of God. There are some unfortunate things in this point in time, is that during this time, the lamp of God's starting to go out. That's never supposed to ever happen, if you remember when we studied through. That lamp was to be burning as a perpetual thing, as to express or to reveal the presence of God, and it was always, always, always supposed to be burning. The priests were faltering, weren't they, in their duties? They were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were faltering. Did it stop God from speaking? To them, maybe, but not to Samuel. Samuel's innocent of that, right? He's got an innocence about him. That childlike innocence is there about him. He's ministering to the Lord. And I've found that I really agree with that thought, that as we are in the place of gathering with other believers, oftentimes God will begin to speak and move and talk to our hearts through his word in settings just like this. In other men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, prayer times, gatherings like this. I'm not saying God doesn't speak to us in our devotional time. Certainly he does. I'm not saying that God doesn't speak in other situations, but it is the idea that we are getting to this place. We're setting aside this time, and God knows it, and God's going to meet us here. Wherever two or three are gathered, there I am, Jesus said, in the midst of them. God's moving. He's wanting to speak to us. It's wonderful to me as I'm at the back and I'm greeting people on Sunday mornings as people are leaving and people are talking about the different things. And very seldom do people hear the same thing. It's an interesting thing to me. It's a phenomena of the Spirit. The general gist everybody gets of what we've covered, a topic or something, sure, you know, in a text that we've covered with its topics in the text. Sure, we get that. But man, the Lord really spoke to me about this, and it really answered something I've been dealing with. And I spoke nothing specifically about that, but I oftentimes get that kind of feedback. And this person got something entirely different, and that person got something, because God's at work. God's moving. His Spirit's speaking to us. God speaks to me sometimes in the midst of gatherings like this when I'm just sharing from my heart. God starts speaking to me about things. As we are gathered together, being in that place where we're of a mind to receive from the Lord, we're with God's people, we're in that posture to receive from the Lord, is real significant for us. God is moving. Notice here, though, he is certainly in the place of gathering, isn't he? He's in the temple. He's in the place of gathering where God's people would gather together. And he's come to that place. He works there. He serves there. Interesting, as now he begins to speak to Samuel. Now, Samuel has not yet heard from the Lord. He's not, doesn't know the voice. He's not tuned in. He can't discern the voice of the Lord. But these first few things I've given us are for any of us, because we can always place ourselves in these spots where we might be able to have the most optimum potential to receive and hear from the Lord. I love this. He didn't yet know, nor know to discern, but one thing you will notice as this happens to him, as soon as he hears something, he gets up and he responds to it. He gets up and checks it out. Eli, dude, what's up? You know, but what do you need? Did you call me? Samuel, dude, I'm just about to sleep. Get out of here. Go back to bed. You know, and this happens repetitively a few times. Samuel kept getting up and following, wanting to investigate it, wanting to know, is Eli, what is it? He's attentive. He's attentive. It's late. It's middle of the nightish. It's bedtime. Does God speak always when it's convenient for you? I've often not found that to be true. After my big flash of light and my explosion and the, you know, lights flickering and all that stuff, I sat there. There was no smoke, no flame coming out of the engine or anything. And I'm thinking, well, you know, Lord, you told me we're going there and we're coming back, so I'm cool. Whatever, you know, you want to do in between, I guess that's up to whatever you allow, you allow. I was just had an immediate just sense of God's presence and peace. I felt bad for everybody else on the plane, you know, but I really just had a sense of God's presence, and he just ministered, you know, to my heart, and it's just cool. It's the norm for me. So I just accept that. But this idea of God, it's not always convenient when God starts to minister in a situation or something, a circumstance occurs in our life. And it's difficult for us. But God is speaking in those situations. What is he doing? He's getting, as he does with you and with me, he's waking him up, disturbing him in the middle of the night. But as it is with you and as it is with me, God's getting his attention. See, God knows what'll trip your trigger and my trigger. God will do things to get our attention. Why? Because he wants to speak to us. He wants to reveal something of himself to us. I have gone through dark, dark days before for extended periods of time. And no joke, all I could see was barely the dust coming from his sandals and the back of his garment in my journey with the Lord. For not a day, not a week, not a month, more like a few years. I've seen some dark days, brothers, sisters. It's not pleasant. I wish this for no one, but it's okay. I have learned by faith to follow my master regardless and to trust him because he knows. And he allows those times that I might, that you might, that we might know him intimately in a way that we would never know him otherwise. I am more equipped, though I did not go through the exact thing, and though all I could do was express the similar grief as someone loses a loved one, or certainly the loss of a small baby. Certainly, you know? My heart and my compassion and my grief was there. And all I can say is Jesus is there too, though. He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Lo and I were talking about this just the other day, about we are walking at times through that valley. Not stopping, not camping, not wallowing in, but we are walking through. He is the good shepherd that leads us. Not pitching our tent there. It's not a good campground. You don't want to build a house there. You see what I'm saying? But you walk through difficulties and move along by faith, trusting God. Man, this gets into something really cool. The Lord called Samuel again a third time in verse 8. And he arose, he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. He says, "Oh, been a long while, but I know it's possible that maybe God's speaking to this kid." Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say," man, memorize these words, etch them into your person, and utilize them. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." This is what this means in its original language, in the Hebrew. This means, "I am listening to you, and I'm willing to do as you ask." That's what that means. In its original language, that's what that means. "I am listening to you, and I'm willing to do as you ask." And as soon as Samuel responded in that way, he heard the voice of the Lord telling him what was going on. The revelation then came. God is getting us through circumstances and situations in our lives to get us to a place where we'll cry, "Uncle. Uncle." You know, I spend every day like that. "Uncle." You know, I'm just, "Whatever you want to do, Lord." Do you remember when, you know, your older brother pinned you down and, you know, you couldn't move anymore, and or you're wrestling with your friends and somebody pinned you down and you just had to cry, "Uncle," you know? Well, I live like that with God. It's better to cry, "Uncle." Just let the Lord have his way. The idea is this willingness, listening to the Lord with a willing heart to do openly, willingly, wanting to do whatever he asks. Once we get to that point, now God can speak, because it's not just falling on deaf ears, is it? He wants to minister to you. He wants to minister to me. He wants us to have that information. And then the important thing is what goes on as he starts to declare this, as the Lord begins to pour this stuff out to him. Here comes the revelation now. The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, and Samuel, "Samuel," and Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then, I love that, isn't that cool? Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. He didn't discipline them. He didn't deal with the matter, and therefore there's judgment coming. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. He didn't want to talk to him about it. And Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do as seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, from north to south, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. So God began to use him. Some of the things in this, as God spoke to Samuel, as he gave him this revelation, as this revelation came to him, no doubt that it's significant that he was attentive. He was available. He was responding to God as God was speaking. He was understanding that God might be wanting to talk to me through this thing, through this circumstance, through this situation. It's difficult. I'm uncomfortable, or whatever the circumstance, or I'm awoken in the middle of the night, or whatever the situation might be that God's wanting to maybe speak to us and to our hearts. Now, again, remember, God is not going to speak something to you or to me that is inconsistent with his heart or his word. God's not going to speak something to you. So discerning this is very important, knowing that God is not going to speak things to you that are inconsistent with his heart or his word. He's going to say things that bear witness. His Spirit's going to minister things that bear witness. I think it's important, as we look at this, that Samuel followed through in our closing thoughts. Samuel followed through. He was somebody who was faithful with what was entrusted to him. He did go ahead and communicate those things. Just as we read, I'll read it to you real quickly. We know out of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. I'll just cite these. We'll get these real quickly. Chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord, Paul said, that which I also delivered to you. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. In other words, you and I really should only be delivering that which we've received from the Lord. Those things that we've received from the Lord, that God has ministered to us through his word, that was which was what we can give off to somebody else, to share with somebody else. The same thing is brought up again in chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered, Paul said to you, first of all, that which I also received. It's the same thing. I heard from the Lord ministered this to me, and that's what I'm going to share with you. Gosh, that's significant. Oh my, that's important, to be someone who is faithful with what God entrusted to you. He's not just giving you stuff so you walk around feeling like you're a secret agent man or woman, and that you've got some now, this great divine revelation that was just, I mean, that's absurd, ridiculous, and pompous. That's just ridiculous to me. God has not intended that. God wants to minister. Notice he's got this message that he's got to share with Eli. And he doesn't come at him and says, man, I've been putting up with your stuff for the last so many years and watching you guys do all this stuff. He was grieved over it. Man, I've been hanging out with Eli for the last 13 years or 12 years or so, and the guy's been like a dad to me. He's kind of a sideways dude in certain ways, and his kids are worse. But gee whiz, I've been hanging out with this guy, and man, judgment's coming, and wow. God help us to look at the world around us from that perspective. Samuel had great compassion. He really just didn't want to say all that way, but he had this message. He was faithful with it, but he shared it with agape in his heart, really. He shared it with compassion. Man, yes, judgment is coming. It is coming. On the earth, it's coming. Right now, I would plead with anyone that grace is available. God's goodness and his mercy is there. May we be that way with the message that God entrusts to us from his word, that we might be merciful and gracious, knowing that that's the heart of God. Let's listen for the voice of the Lord. Let's tune in. These are some great tools to use to help us. Man, I want to refine. I want to be able to hear you, Lord. And remember, he's going to reveal himself to us through his word, through that still small voice, through that impression as he just speaks to us about a situation or a circumstance. Thank you for tuning in today and for listening to the radio program, for listening to God's Word. And I know God has a perfect plan for your life. And it starts, really, by giving our hearts to the Lord. If you've not given your heart to the Lord, or you're just in a place where you have a sense that you're distant from God, and you just want to open your life up to the Lord, the Word says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great to know that we have a God that's full of grace and mercy, that he's willing to pardon all of our sin, to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness? It's a simple prayer, just to give your life to Jesus. Man, all things become new when we give our lives to the Lord. If you just pray this simple prayer along with me, Jesus, I want to open my heart up to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin, my unrighteousness, that you would pardon me. I thank you so much for that grace and mercy that you've shown me. Lord, thank you for the love that put you on the cross, that you did that willingly for me. And Lord, again, I just open my heart to you. I receive you as my personal Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for that free gift of everlasting life that you've given me. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.